שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל.
Hello, we're reading in Kabbalah for the student. We are on page 263 in the article The Peace. We're under the heading First Method, Nature. You can find our study materials on Kab.tv, where you can send questions as well. Pertinent questions to the lesson will be aired during the lesson. Again, Kabbalah for the student. We're on page 263, The Peace. We're under the heading First Method is Nature.
Humanity has a problem. For thousands and thousands of years, doesn't know where to develop, who develops it, how to do something good for itself. Simply, egoistically, it's incapable of existing. That's why we invent all kinds of methods to connect to nature and in some way, somehow, to complement this situation. As he said, and where is this from? Where does it stem from? It stems from
when
something develops, nature organizes around it everything that is possible in order to develop it properly. This means mother, father, relatives, everything as much as possible to support this creature. And we really see that somehow, but in each and every other level, this exists. Maybe we want more, but the truth is, if you'll have more, it won't develop correctly. Then when one grows, he starts seeing himself suffering. So what happened in his childhood when everyone loved him and treated him nicely, and later as he grows up, everyone's demanding and requiring things from him. He doesn't understand. Let's say we're talking about a human being. So he's asking, what happened? I was spoiled. I was given everything. I could do whatever I want. And then what? What's going on now? Where is mom? Where's dad? Where's my environment? Where is everyone? They're putting pressure on me. I don't want it. But the change is very big. Right, Gershon? We can see you've been spoiled. And what can you do then? Humanity doesn't know what to do. But the main thing is not regarding humanity, it's regarding the upper force. Why does development come to us in such a way? It's really misunderstood. Where's the logic here? So he says there are a few natures for that. A few methods for that. Look at the previous part. And you should bear in mind this oppositeness set before our eyes for every sensible, educated person has preoccupied humanity even in ancient days. There are many methods to explain these two apparent opposites in providence, which occupy the same world. First method.
The first method is nature. This method is an ancient one. Since they did not find a way and an outlet to bring these two conspicuous opposites closer, they came to assume that the Creator, who created all these, who watches mightily over His reality, lest any of it be cancelled, is mindless and senseless. Hence, although he watches over the existence of reality with wondrous wisdom, yet he himself is mindless and does all that senselessly. Because if there had been any reason and feeling in him, he would certainly not leave such malfunctions in the provision of reality without pity and compassion for the tormented. For this reason, they named him Nature, meaning a mindless, heartless supervisor. And for that reason, they believe that there is no one to be angry at, to pray to, or to justify oneself to.
The truth is, this seems all right. True? We see that everything, if we relate to the system this way, all the ones who have no faith in all these different gods in front of them, all the ones who say, I don't believe in anything, I believe in nature. We're in nature, there are rules here, you have no one to turn to, just know the rules and obey them and everything is going to be okay, right? There's no one to pray to. What does praying mean? When I'm asking additional mercy, not according to the system, something in addition. We know that we can pray. I can pray as much as I want, but if I jump off a cliff, no prayer will help. I'm going to fall. That's what's going to happen. And I shouldn't be confused about my prayers doing something. And the truth is, according to what we see, a judge has only what his eyes can see. Everything is governed by this first method, the nature. Right? The wisdom of Kabbalah says that nature, in Hebrew, the value and numbers of this word is the exact value of the word Elohim, God. So, are we in this first method or not? That's something I don't yet know. But I can certainly say that we are under this system of rules. Clear? Let's continue.
The second method is two authorities. Others were more clever. They found it difficult to accept the assumption of nature's supervision. Since they saw that supervision over reality to secure its existence is a far deeper wisdom than any human culmination, they could not agree that the one who supervises all that will himself be mindless. For how can one give that which he does not possess? And can one teach one's friend while he himself is a fool? How can you say about he who performs before us such astute and wise deeds that he does not know what he is doing, and that he does it by chance? It is clearly evident that chance cannot arrange any orderly deed devised in wisdom, much less secure its eternal existence. In consequence, they came to a second assumption, that there are two supervisors here. One creates and sustains the good, and the other creates and sustains the bad. And they have greatly elaborated that method with evidence and proof along their way.
Meaning, looking at life, it's not that they discovered something, they just observed life, and out of their minds, or our minds, they invented such a system that there's probably a good boss, a bad boss, or maybe he relates to us in a good or bad way. Two authorities. This does somehow, it relates to people. It's an answer to this question. What's the difference between the first and the second methods? Question. What's the difference between the second and the first methods? Maybe you should speak amongst yourself and maybe you'll find a solution.
In the first method, they're saying he has no mind, that there's simply a certain set of laws. In the second method, they're saying that there's necessarily a mindfulness to it, and therefore there's someone who's doing good and someone who's doing bad, but on purpose.
In the first method, there is one force, which is a passive force regarding nature. In the second method, there are two forces.
The second method isn't willing to accept the idea that the provider, the one who creates the whole of creation is mindless, and they're adding a depiction that there's a goal and purpose to what he's doing. And we can't explain this, why we see this. So we say that we're the probably two people in Providence, the good one and the bad one.
It's as if the second method finds some solution to evil. Rav, answer me. In the first method, is there an upper force? Yes. Does it have a purpose?
No.
No. We see that everything is developing. What do you mean you don't have a goal? There is a goal, or no? It doesn't matter if you call it nature. There is, nature has a goal, a purpose to develop the four different levels in it, the still, vegetative, animate, and speaking. You can see they're developing. Why do you say they don't? If you see that this is a system of rules, of laws, why do you say that it's developing by chance? Yeah. The second method, what does it also say? That it has a mind and feeling and causing good and bad things, meaning it adds to the development. From the development of this product, which is under nature, and that nature develops and it and towards the goal, either in a good way or in a bad way, according to its response, meaning the system is closing down more, but it's the system of nature, but it just has one more mechanism in the upper force, in the force of nature, which is sometimes this way, sometimes that way, meaning it has different variations how to relate to the creatures. What, Terence?
Sorry, Rav, but in the first method, there's no goal. There's a system. There's a thought without a goal. That's what is happening.
Is that what it says?
That's what I understand, that it's written that way.
Well, that you understand, it's... This is what you understand that is written, but it's not written that way.
In French, it's written.
What did he say? Oh. Without mindless or without opinion. Well, it is a question what that means. Well, so let's say this is the way. In the first method, nature, it's blind, it's mindless, there's nothing, meaning it exists and that's it. What do you want? It exists. The second is when there's probably a purpose, and regarding the purpose, there is a good and bad force according to the response of the creatures. That's how you advance. Two authorities. What?
I agree with what Terence said, because also in the first and the second method, it's on the side of the observers.
It's always from the side of the observers.
So from the side of the observer, there's a certain set of rules, but there's no goal, there's no mind or opinion, there's no desire, specific desire.
But from the observer, the one who researches, one does not see the purpose of development neither in the first method nor in the second.
According to what we read, it seems that way.
Okay, yes. So you're not asking, you're just stating a fact. Okay. More.
He writes that there's no chance that can organize a certain state, but it's not a scientific sentence.
What is it?
This is not a scientific statement. It's not empirical. Of course there can be by chance a certain order.
What do you mean, it can be by chance?
He's saying that by chance it can't be, that there has to be a certain providence. But there doesn't have to be providence. We have 14 billion years from the Big Bang that by chance could organize things this way.
How can you demand that this is by chance and not providence, according to what we understand? On the contrary, the more you go into nature, we see that there's a wonderful, there are wonderful rules where we perceive it. What we don't perceive, we don't perceive. But at least what we have researched in nature, we see there are rules, iron rules in everything. There are no chances.
But that doesn't mean that it's not by chance.
No, on the contrary. If you go into every specific case and you research, you say there is no chance here. It's all according to the rule. And also, if you say everything came from the Big Bang or from some other origin, it comes from a certain origin. Why does it develop by chance? I don't even understand where this word comes from, chance. Chance means that, regarding a person, that he doesn't perceive the rules, the relationship, the connections, the cause and the consequence. And so he says, for me, it seems like chance. But in nature, there is no chance at all. In nature, everything is organized. It's only that we don't know 99.9% of the rules of nature. That's why it seems to us chance. Do I know what's going to happen in the next moment? No. Will it be by chance? No. It's just that I don't see it.
I mean, that just doesn't prove that there's no creator. He's saying that there's providence from above as if it's clear. It's not clear.
That has nothing to do with the creator. The creator can be above all the cases or not.
So he's just saying that there's laws, like the laws of physics, that there's a law?
Yeah, of course.
And that's it? That there's a law and that's it?
You can also say about the creator that this is a rule. Because rule is regarding our perception.
He's saying here that it's clearly evident that, you know, it cannot be arranged by any other reason. There has to be providence.
No. It doesn't say that in the meantime. It says, by nature. What does providence mean? That I do something and I get a certain response from nature. Is that called authority or providence? It is. And the general rule of nature that includes all these specific rules of biology, zoology, doesn't matter, electricity, physics, chemistry, all these rules, the laws, this general law is called godliness, creator, and that doesn't disturb me.
I think chance means that there's no brain behind it. There's no intellectual direction behind it.
How can you have something that doesn't belong to the entire system if it came out of all came from one point? This thing called chance, I can't perceive that. What I say is that it's only, and I'm repeating this with you, that it's only regarding a person who attains. When he says it's by chance, it means he doesn't understand what's happening. It's like a kid, he broke something and he said, it just broke by itself. And we see that he really thinks that he's innocent, he's gullible. Doesn't understand, he put the glass on the table and fell, and has to fall. But the truth is, but I want to know, where do you see chance? Where do you see something happening by chance? If we don't know the rules, we go by statistics. But that's not chance. That's for us, because we have no choice. We don't see we don't know the rules, so we use that.
That's fine, but you shouldn't say, you're right, there's no chance. Okay, we don't see the reason. But you can't fill the reason with intellect, with the creator, to say, oh, we don't know, that means that there is a brain to it.
The creator too, I don't understand who the creator is. Can you explain to me? This general rule, general law that engulfs all the other rules is called creator. And also this law is with respect to us, the creatures. Is there anything else except for this law? Maybe. There are many things that are not with respect to us. Maybe, but All the rules that we discovered and will ever discover regarding us are called Creator.
That's fine. If we define it like that, it's a general law, it's okay. But to associate a mindfulness to this general law...
Wait a minute. Hold on. Why this law doesn't have a mind? What is a mind?
A mindfulness or a reason to it means that I want to do something according to my intellect and I carry out an action that goes with it.
So why isn't that a law? Because you yourself don't understand how you do it. That's why you say it's not a law. But had you known all the reasons, all the foundations, you wouldn't think about any chance happening at all. You're relating these things to chance, to luck. There is no chance in reality. Where does this thing come from, this discernment called by chance? Doesn't it have a father?
It does.
So if it does, there is no chance.
Okay, so but there's no law. Let's say there's one law. If you call it the Creator, it's also okay. But to say that the Creator, like God, has a mind to it, is not saying. And this is kind of implying it.
What do you mean when you say mind? Mind is a certain series of actions that come from cause and effect. That's the mind.
No, that's not a mind. A mind is where someone thinks and
what do you mean
thinks?
Thinks
with his brain.
But if it doesn't think, it doesn't sit, it's not a mind. It has to be a bum and a chair. What are you talking about?
Wait, you understand the difference? The meaning is that he's not proving here. It's like he's...
Mind is a system that takes the cause and the effect and knows how to define them and to organize them according to the timing, the cause and the consequence. That's called mind.
Let's say the thought of creation.
That's a mind, reason. Of course it is.
It's mind, it's reason.
It's,
but
and software. Planned.
I agree, but here, by saying that it's not by chance, that there has to be a thought of creation, he's implying that there has to be a thought of creation. I'm claiming that there doesn't have to be a claim like that.
Okay, so you have a problem with Baal HaSulam. Okay, that's enough. I'll leave your stuff with you. That's why I don't let you ask. Sometimes.
No, the way you explained it was perfect. You explained it all. Like all the rules, and if you explain it that way, then... Well, the fact that there's one law... Yeah.
Yes.
Just to say, I think there's a matter of the reading of what's written here, because Baal HaSulam is not saying it's this way or that way. He's describing some kind of way of thinking that's developed in humanity. He's not even saying his opinion. He's talking about how this was developed in humanity. And maybe that's something that Daniel missed on this. That's how Baal HaSulam is explaining it.
Yeah, but he's presenting it the way he understands it, that it developed. It's not, he's not taking some fact outside of him. There is no such a thing outside of him. Everyone says according to what they understand. You can't be objective in the world. You can't. To begin with, we only talk out of what we attain. We've come to the third method. Okay, you can read it. It's short.
The third method is multiple gods. This method was born out of the bosom of the method of two authorities. This is because they have divided and separated each of the general actions from itself, meaning strength, wealth, domination, beauty, famine, death, disorder, and so on. And they appointed each its own supervisor and expanded the system as they wished.
Yeah, and then we have all these gods as we had in ancient Greece and everywhere. And still, human beings are in it. He's only trying to say one thing. Humanity. Human beings are built internally in such a way that this approach first, second, a third, or fourth methods, all these methods exist in each and every person. Doesn't matter what period they live. Maybe today or 2 years, 2,000 years back or in 2,000 years in the future. There is no difference. The way we are built, these methods awaken, and moreover, all at once, and in one person, all these methods can exist. And he's confused. Sometimes he's looking at it this way, sometimes this way. That's it. That's the way a person is. So, the third method is an expansion of the second one. We won't make it, so do you have any more questions about it? Yeah.
Beforehand, it's written in, but due to form philosophy and different studies that have to do with certain, could you say that he is actually canceling the second and third method?
He's canceling philosophy by that, because philosophy means that you have a few assumptions, maybe they're right, but you're starting to build whatever you would like from it according to your own mind, according to the connections you have to, you can make, and maybe you're building a wonderful system, imaginary. It seems to you that's the way it has to exist, and maybe you can prove some of this system in your thought that it's right, but that doesn't mean that it's true, it's correct. Maybe under different conditions or in general. Whatever is built inside man's mind is canceled, it's disqualified, it's wrong to begin with. Because we're a result of nature, and if we don't go according to nature, we'll always do what we feel like. We'll be wrong and we'll suffer. That's what we see all along history, but humanity doesn't do anything with it. Because continuing to do something by nature, for that you need the wisdom of Kabbalah. You have to research the depths of nature. We have to build ourselves according to nature. That's something we don't want to do. This layer that is starting to be revealed in order to bestow pushes people away, repels a person. They keep on going with their own methods. Yes.
So he's basically saying that one should not judge what his eyes don't see. Is that what I'm saying?
No. Had we really looked, one can see only what his eyes can see. That's his eyes. It's a person looking into nature. He can see laws, the rules, and to keep them, that's something else. Here there is no judge. You can say that if you disqualify, you judge, it's according to your own flaws.
So what's the difference between the second method and philosophy that he says that he hates? What's the difference between the second method and philosophy?
Second method? No. First of all, what we're learning here, that's not philosophy. He's talking about the methods that we, out of researching reality, we see that these methods probably do have some room. The problem with the philosophy is that it uses man's mind, believes man's mind, its logic, that a person can make up some reality for himself and say, the problem is that this reality exists according to what I've built, the system of the imaginary system I've built. It exists that way, according to the facts that are right. When we're connecting them to the system, we're saying that's what exists, that's wrong. That now, on the path, we can be mistaken, and we are mistaken, because we're building the connection between the facts according to our egoistic mind. Without the true purpose of creation, we don't understand it. That's why we're always mistaken. Yes.
So just last thing, in the second method, those who claim that there's two authorities, did they reveal this, or is he just summing it from...
No, out of research. Because I see there are two authorities, plus, minus, this is this way, this is that way. Yeah, the truth is the first method is the most universal method. The problem with philosophy, you see it today, that it's people who research. First of all, the research itself. The question is, how do you research it? The ancient methods, ancient views, the way they were taught, that's one problem. The other problem is that later when they summarize things, sum things up, it's a good thing they relate to philosophers and philosophy in such a bad way. Otherwise, if we would follow that, what would we have? Yes? Humanity... Well, today, it seems to us it's confused, but it's governed by the ego, different people in humanity who have their own goals in humanity do it. They have no choice. They're egoistic, and the system compels them to reveal their evil this way. But look what's happening with this liberalism, and look what's going on with everything that's going on. Really, we're being fooled. Works on through the networks. Look how people are starting to think about everything, to feel. We are, in the past few centuries, past few dozens of years, we are hypnotized. There's nothing left for us.
Why does it work in mathematics? What is mathematics, not philosophy? They're also taking some natural phenomena, using an artificial language of people. They're building models according to logic. And then they go to nature and see, wow, it works. And no one manages to understand it many times. So what's the difference?
I don't know. I don't know it. I don't know. I don't know enough to say where is the mistake. I just want to tell you one thing. Statistics doesn't mean anything, because in statistics and any other approach you have to the world, you are within an egoistic system, and the goal, the purpose of reality is altruistic. That's why you always have to be in a certain mistake. It's accumulating, and you're not taking it under account. So, short-term actions, you may be right. I'm not saying you can't be right. There are rules and rules. Statistics is statistics. Of course, if you don't manipulate it, and you do go according to these rules of statistics, of course. Everyone studies that. But that doesn't mean that these things are absolute. They only exist according to these rules of accumulation. And like any other law, they are within our ego. That's what I understand. Yes.
Ask again about the first method. It turns out like the first method is very close to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Meaning the wisdom of Kabbalah depicts a method, how to find all the rules that happen in reality, which also the first says that there are absolute rules, that there's not much to change there.
Yeah, but what he says is, hence,
Although he watches over
nature, meaning mindless and heartless. That's why there's no one to be angry at, to pray to, or to justify oneself to. Meaning it's nature, 100% materialistic. We say something else. We say nature is the source of everything we have. That's why it has both emotion and mind. Not like with the, we have. It's many times more. We don't even know. And everything we have is from the Creator, from nature. So it's not exactly as they say in the first method. First method is very simple. That's the way it is. Materialistic. A judge has only what his eyes can see. And this doesn't work. No method works. Okay, we will continue this in some other time and in a state that will hope that you'll be a bit awakened. I don't know what's going on after the Congress. Okay, Gil.
Just about the third method, you once gave an explanation that really connected it to now how much we are all basically idol worshippers. When I say that the computer is not working, I get mad at it, or the bus driver was late, and I already associate it to some force or independence. In that, we basically all have that element of idol worshippers.
Look, what he wrote here, you can expand it a lot more, but we don't have time. We need to keep on, for the time being, this is enough for us. Then you open it up and continue. But the truth is, here you can sit for months about every verse. Okay, let's see, what's next? Daily task, where from? Oh, today it's from Peter. Yeah, please, Peter.
Сегодня с нами были 14-я десятка.
Today we're with us 10, number 14 from Petah Tikva, the South Golan, Repetnitsky, Berlin, and Peter 10, number 2. The daily task. If I reveal today my oppositeness to the 10, to the friend, what do I benefit from that? Call one friend and talk about that. Again, if I discover my oppositeness to the 10 or to a friend, what benefit do I get from that? We call one friend at least and talk about this during the day. Just towards the friend and towards the 10. If I discover my oppositeness towards a friend or the 10, what is my benefit from that?
It's unclear.
People are saying it's not clear. It's our daily task. Announcements. You're welcome to watch the Zohar lesson this evening at 6:15, live with Rav Leitman. Thank you to our TV viewers, and a good day. World Unity Evening, the story of Kabbalah L'Am. Everyone's invited to a Unity Evening in Petah Tikva. And the program, Yeshivat Chavirim, a lesson, a musical performance and meal on the November 12th at 6:30 in Petah Tikva. For details, 1-700-509-209. Receiving life as a gift, the Kabbalah L'Am campus is happy to invite you to intro lectures for the courses that are starting all over the country. Entrance is free with RSVPing. Enter our site, www.kabcoil, or call the phone 1-700-509-209. Song. שמתחילים לגלות את אהבת חברו
תכף מתעוררת כל הרגשת שמחה ותענור ברגע שמגלה שחברו דואג עבורו הוא כבר אינו יכול לדאוג עבור עצמו, עבור עצמו רק שיש אהבת כלות הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק שיש אהבת כלות הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב נשחקים הלבבות אפילו שיהיו של איתנים ומקירות ליבו מוציא חמימות ואהבה ברגע שמגלה שחברו דואג עבורו הוא כבר אינו יכול לדאוג עבור עצמו, עבור עצמו רק שיש אהבת לו את הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק שיש אהבת לו את הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק שיש אהבת לא את הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק שיש אהבת לא את הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק שיש אהבת לא את הנפש